Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 13th of March, recording at 9:18 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here on what's a very exciting day in the markets. The Asian stock markets were mostly firmer. One of the best gains was Australia, which had been a laggard recently. And that gained nearly 51 points, or 1.21%. We also saw further strength in the China indices. Now, European stock markets were extremely strong. The best gains coming from Spain and Italy, which were both up over 2%, 2.4% on Spain. And that more than offset the declines that we saw yesterday. We also saw DAX and CAC, that's Germany and France, and probably one or two of these other European indices not only score strong gains of well over 1%, but also move above their recent consolidation phase to new highs for the year. And in the Americas, my goodness, I just saw this Brazil, a whopping 3% gain. Wall Street certainly was not left out of the excitement. Gains, well, 1.81% for the S&P. That's taken it up to a new high for the year. And remember, these U.S. indices, for the most part, are also above their 2011 highs. So it's taken the S&P up to 1395.95, so nearly 1396. The NASDAQ, again, I mentioned up 1.88%, so very, very strong. Long-dated government bond prices were weaker against that background, not surprisingly, and the U.S. 30-year long bond future closed at 39-08, and that's the first close below 140 since last October. Now, the U.S. dollar index was a little firmer, but that was almost entirely against the euro. Also the yen. The euro was soft and currently trading at 1.3083 against the greenback. And I mentioned that the yen was weak. Up, and we now see it 82.89 yen to the U.S. dollar. Elsewhere, the Aussie was a little firmer and sterling was a little firmer against the greenback. In commodities, and this is really interesting, now we had a lot of to-ing and fro-ing and seesawing here in the gold and silver markets today, and closing just about unchanged at 33.42 on silver, whereas gold got whacked and fell down to... it's currently trading at $16.75.50. That's down nearly $26 on the day. More on that, more on all these markets in a minute. And platinum held up better. It's dipped back below the 1700, but it's at 1690. That's down 570. And palladium was the best of all. So the industrial metals did better. That's reflected, although also classified as precious. The palladium and platinum often trade more in line with the industrial metals. Not always, but that has often been the case. Now, the industrial metals were all higher right across the boards. Silver back up, copper back up above 390. And we had some decent gains in the other LME-based precious metals, industrial metals. And what else here? In grains and beans. We had a little divergence here. Rough rice and looks like wheat were slightly lower. Soybeans, which has been leading the advance, did so again today, up 14 cents, and corn, which had a good day yesterday, also closed up another 2.5 cents here today. Agricultural commodities were mostly higher. Last but not least, what about crude oil? Well, not much, fortunately. 106.71 on the WTI, and the Brent up 89 cents to 126.23. Okay. So what's going on here overall? Well, a number of these stock markets have resumed their secular bull trends here with upward breaks today. Now, the Europeans had seen somewhat more of a consolidation. In the US market, we've seen quite a brief consolidation, but the technical action, again, these strong gains have reaffirmed the overall upward trends and indicate that indicates further upside potential. Now, with charts, we're always concerned about what would have to happen to change the overall outlook. And I would give the benefit of the doubt very much to the upside until or unless we see some clear technical deterioration. So far, what we have seen, as discussed in these audios, has been a very orderly consolidation, much less of the risk on, risk off. I mean, the last time we saw that was what was it, Tuesday a week ago, when we had a sharp downward move in a number of these markets, but that appeared to be climactic, in the sense that that was the biggest part of the pullback, and then the reversal process started thereafter, reversing back upwards. So, bottom line here, and this is an important technical point, give the upside the benefit of the doubt until or unless these stock market indices take out last week's reaction lows. Now, they're not all that far away, and if they were to fall back, first clue we would get of possible trouble would be in moving back beneath the upside breakout points that we've seen today, which led to, as I said, to new highs for the year, and in the case of the US indices, new highs, which not only for the year but for the last several years. So, really, bottom line again, to repeat this important point, technical deterioration would require, were it to occur, closes beneath last week's lows. If that doesn't happen, don't worry about it. In other words, one can relax. That's a close level to monitor in terms of any change in overall signals. Now, why have we had this explosive move in here today? Well, my guess is, and this there'll be a number of different reasons, and people tend to signal. Or single out rather news items, and they'll talk about Bernanke's comments being favorable and so on. And they were, but I would put that more in the category of market noise. Now, I don't mean to demean the comments at all, but there's nothing surprising about Bernanke's comments whatsoever. I think what has happened is technical in here, in that there are two groups of investors in there. There are people who had played the upside rally and quite aggressively, but also took a number of profits and or opened some hedge short positions. And I think we hit some stops today on those new highs. Unquestionably, we hit some stops on the new highs. And people have been scrambling today to buy back some of those hedge short positions. Then there are the other people who were more cautious still and were very underinvested during much of the rally. You remember all that bearish sentiment that we had back year end. And they had been looking for a bigger pullback and they haven't seen it. And some of them will have been pulled back in by today's market action. And overall, technically, it's favorable, reaffirming the cyclical bull market that we've been talking about throughout not only the fourth quarter, and actually it started in August, that base building, support building process that we saw, but of course this year's rather stunning gains. And these patterns can carry higher. Now, you have to be careful in some of these markets because where we see clear overextensions relative to the MAs by some of the early leaders, and Owen has discussed three of these in response to an email in here today, and one of them that it had one of the best moves, McDonald's. It's a share that we really do like, one of the key dividend aristocrats and autonomies. But it had accelerated relative to its 200-day MA, and that leaves it susceptible to mean reversion towards the MA, and it's currently seeing some mean reversion. Well, there are a lot of shares that show that type of pattern. Now, I would not be buying those unless they had seen or completed a mean reversion and actually encountered support near or above the 200-day MAs. However, there are a number of other companies, many of them with decent yields, and Owen has reviewed some of them here today. And I bought one of them, Sanofi, the French pharmaceutical company, which is a big company with worldwide activities and a 4.5% yield that had been largely range bound but are beginning to break up out of those ranges. So some of the underperformers, but that are well supported technically and now just coming into form, look poised for some reasonable additional gains. And some of the lagging markets, again, Japan remains in that category, and the current weakness of the yen, which we have long described as essential for a sustainable recovery in or a significant recovery in the Japanese stock market. Well, all the pieces are falling together, and the moves being led by the rally. In the second section, which is pretty much always the leader in Japan, but and crucially, it also has good relative performance from the Japanese banking sector. So I like that a lot. I mean, one's spoiled for choice in here in these markets right now. Just don't chase any of the runaway leaders. One of those runaway leaders, which has accelerated further than I would have expected, is Apple Computer, and I know a number of you hold that Apple Computer. And so the action has been awesome, and it resumed its upward trend here. It had another small pullback last week, but broke upwards to new all-time highs in here again today. Now, that's great technical action, but there's never been the case of an accelerating uptrend that didn't end badly, if not in the long term, certainly in the short to medium term. And the higher they go, the harder they fall in terms of a pullback towards the mean, and usually markets that clearly accelerate well above their mean represent trend mean represented by the 200-day moving average, they usually not only fall back to the mean but break below it. If you want examples of that, look at what happened with silver in April. Look what happened with gold last August. And today, and I've said it before, is that Apple is behaving like the new gold. Well, fantastic company, no doubt, but it is discounting an awful lot of good news. And it's entering in on a short-term basis. I think it's beginning to enter the domain of the greater fool theory. And as I say that, but again, now that it's starting to get this little step sequence in here, so say last week's pause and then reaffirming the uptrend today, we'll need to see a break in the rising lows, such as last week's low, to more clearly indicate a loss of overall upside momentum. It will happen. It's just that no one knows precisely when, but it is likely to happen, if not over the short term, over the medium term, in terms of the next couple of months. Okay, what else to mention here? Long-dated government bond prices. The U.S. Treasuries will still, the long end of the U.S. Treasuries will still benefit from Bernanke's support. He reiterated that they would be shifting money on rollovers in the short end into the long end. But it's the pattern is looking a bit top heavy overall, and that's true of most of these long-dated government bond prices. Gold, my hunch on this is that some of the people who bought gold as a hedge against financial disaster, some of those people are tempted to take some of their profits. Now, people buy gold for all sorts of different reasons. They buy gold because of inflation concerns. They buy gold because they want something that they don't think is particularly correlated to other assets. But at times, gold is highly correlated, and it was highly correlated to stock markets for much of the last few months. But this, again, it's underperforming stock markets in here right now, as is silver. And the pattern is, well, it's indecisive. And therefore, in my own conclusion, I was stopped out. I had a break-even stop triggered in gold, so I've let some modest profits slip through my fingers in the last couple of weeks while trading this. I haven't had any losses, but it's just energy spent and treading water in here, and I don't really want to be spending my time trying to trade silver on an intraday basis. So I may hold off until I see a pattern that is more competitive in terms of some of the equity patterns that we see. And I am stepping up my equity-related purchases. But I also bought some corn today because that's got a good steady pattern, as you will have seen yesterday. And I was thinking of buying it anyway, and John McIntosh's excellent report pushed me more quickly in that direction. What else to mention here? Currencies. Well, we've got a period of overall currency stability here right now. mean, the weakest currency in recent weeks has been the Japanese yen, and that's desirable because it was overly strong. So calm there. Commodities firming up, but not to the extent that they are an inflationary threat. The one exception being crude oil, which is a headwind for both stock markets and the global economy at these prices. But it's been moving up in a pretty much in a slow ranging basis. It's not spiking. As long as it doesn't spike, I think economies can cope with it. Not least the U.S. economy, which has its dirt cheap natural gas and more competitive prices for crude oil. And on that note, all the best to all of you on this very exciting day in the markets.